The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to create a life that's intentional and dynamic? Welcome to The Intentional Spirit with your host, Reverend Temple Hayes.
So glad that you're with us today, and I love it. I look forward to every week that we're together and making a connection and reminding each other of what it's like to be intentional, being a difference maker. That old quote that I believe is quoted to JFK, don't look at things how they are and say why, but look at things and say why not. And I love the energy of that and the excitement of that. I've been really excited about our guest today, Heather Lean, because she's addressing a subject that is so greatly needed with our children and with adults to recognize the guardian angels of life. And I just was so excited to have her. Heather, welcome to our show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry, all the time frames. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I got your books yesterday, and I'm so excited. Aww. I love the poetry. I love the coloring, the illustrations of the book, and it just it touched my heart because this is so needed. Because well, first of all, I think it's safe to say that most adults don't even know how to have conversations about death. You understand that? I mean, they don't know how to have conversations about death or someone passing, or, you know, or then traditional religiosity will say we believe in the eternal life, but you're not supposed to communicate with people on the other side, or, you know, oh, that's angels, or, you know, what is it? And I just love that you have taken this subject on with your mom and your mother-in-law. That was your initial call, right? That it was both of them, and you wanted to teach your two children that communication is there, and they're now guardian angels. Have I got it right in the way that you
connect? Yes. I mean, it's an interesting journey, of course. I mean, my background, I didn't think I wanted to write children's books or kind of even go down this path, but and I'm actually a lawyer by, you know, my day job right now. But after my mom had been suffering for, you know, a number of years, 9 years with Alzheimer's. So, you know, it was always in the back of my head, and it's kind of like a long grieving process because you're grieving as the person, you know, she was suffering. And my mother-in-law actually passed away suddenly before my mother did. And within 2 years, less than 2 years, we lost both of them. My mom, you know, finally succumbed at 67. She passed away from Alzheimer's. She had early onset. And, you know, I was going through such a hard grieving process. I wasn't, you know, I would always kind of say I'm like more spiritual. I was raised Jewish. My husband's Protestant. So I kind of, you know, I always believed in some kind of spiritual aspect of it. Even seeing my mom suffer, I'm like, she, you know, because you lose your faculties. And I'm like, but she's still there. You know, that there's something that's still connecting us, because, you know, I wouldn't see her. They moved down to Florida before she got really sick. And, you know, she just hearing my voice or whatever, it would spark something in her. And, you know, I'm a mother as well. So I just, you know, I feel there's some deeper connections that we really can't explain from the literal standpoint of things. And I always kind of had that feeling, but after losing both of them and being a mom to two young children, and now, you know, grieving for myself, a lot of, you know, a lot of pity, you know, just, I don't have anyone, that kind of, and it set me on a path, which I really believe is, you know, I get emotional talking about it, but I believe it's my mom's kind of way of pushing me on this journey, because I probably wouldn't be such a seeker after having gone through all the pain and, you know, and transferring it now to something where, you know, I was seeking it. It was a spiritual journey on my own that took on its own path and direction. So I wrote, I had written a poem, you know, to my children, and I had read it to my husband. He's like, oh, it's going to be a great book. And I really didn't think about even being a children's author. There's a lot of different things that kind of, like little synchronicities that just kept popping up. And Angel Grandma, it wasn't my first book that I wrote. It was actually my second or third book. I just started kind of writing poetry. And the funny part of it was that I had come across, or they came across me, I don't really know how these things work, but I had come across in my social media, you know, scrolling through Children's Orphanage in Africa. And, you know, you get a lot of things that you may potentially be scams and whatnot, but they were, I don't know what it was that spoke to me. And we just kind of connected, and I sent them a little bit of money. And I remember getting an email back from them. Like, they sent me this video message. We love you. You know, may God bless you. We're so grateful for you. And here I was like, maybe it's a scam, maybe it's not, you know, who knows, but I'm just going to give them a little bit of money. And it was just that opening my heart. I was flooded with tears, because I'm sitting here like, these children are 3 and 4 and they don't have any parents. And I just lost my mom. You know, I'm 30 something years old and I lost her, but how can they be grateful? Cause I was struggling in that sense, like, you know, the pity, the woe is me kind of thing. And it really set me on this different direction. So I wrote a story, you know, a little story about my daughter and I kind of giving to them and gratitude and really experiencing it for the first time in my life now. Like, you know, you can say I'm grateful for things, but like I never cried from a stranger that I got a message from, and it hit me. And so I remember I had like a couple of mentors and people that, you know, I started doing meditation. I was really like getting into the whole spiritual aspect of seeking. And my mentor's like, you need to write children's books. I'm like, what are you talking about? They don't make any money. Like, this is not a good path. I'm a lawyer. You know, this is what I was meant to do. I went to law school. This is, I mean, do I love it every day? You know, it's a job. It's a good, decent job. And she's like, no, you have to do this. And it's just funny. I credit, it's the journey. It's like, now I feel like I'm on this amazing path that a year ago I would laugh at somebody who told me all this stuff. And now it's like, I feel so fulfilled. So the long story of it is that, you know, yes, I'm like, I'm on a different road right now that I thought wouldn't, I didn't even think it was something I wanted. And now it's like something I can't live without. And to really think that's like my mom's like parting gift to me. Like I feel she is directing me from the other side. Little synchronicities will pop up. And, you know, a really cool thing that my mom back in the, you know, they used to have these little autograph books that, you know, at the end of the school year, everyone would sign it and make little notes in the book and you take it home. And I found it from her elementary school. And one of her teachers, like, you know, wrote in it saying, keep writing. I can't wait to read your, you know, books one day. And I'm like, my mom wrote books? Like, I didn't know this my whole life. But it's like, I don't know if it doesn't even matter if she did or she didn't, but the fact that I'm finding it now and it resonates with me, it's like little synchronicities like that. I just feel like I'm on the right path. And it's taking that pain and finding like your calling from it. Like I really don't think I would be here had I not gone through that. So yeah, it is. And the message behind Angel Grandma definitely is what I found out myself now at this age to my children. And I can say that I'm not trying to patronize them or tell them something I don't believe in. I do believe that, you know, our spirit or our energy is still, regardless of what religion you align with, it's, I think we kind of all mention it in some way that this is not all that there is. And, yes, that's, I, you know, it took me a long time to find it, but I think I've always been a seeker in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it when you get down to the basics, you know, what I heard is as what you're talking is in that moment is, you know, if our religion was just humanity, you know, we would, mm-hmm. and of course, including all sentient beings, but if we would just start there, the, you know, common threads that we have. And I love, you know, what you're modeling, not only to your children, but the children that put their hands on this book, or the parents that read this book, or their guardians or teachers. What I love is that, you know, you're teaching both parts. You're teaching being in heaven and being on earth, which is mm-hmm. not necessarily real estate, but about a way in which we hold our hearts. And I love the fact that you're teaching, yes, we grieve, the physical dimension changes, but that communication can still go on. You have these wonderful angelic guides that are with you. And to me, I liken it, you know, when I teach, because I'm, you know, we're all about spirituality, not religiosity. But mm-hmm. when we teach such things, we talk about the fact that it's kind of like if you belong to Facebook, if you will. You know, if you just belong to Facebook and you signed up, and you have a few friends, you know, yada, yada, no big deal. But if you engage, right, then more happens, right. And then more people engage with you. And I always use that example of when we're talking about our relatives and our family, our grandmothers and grandfathers and all of those images and people, the experiences that have died, is that the more you communicate with them, I find the more they communicate with you. And it's a real wonderful thing, and of how they are here, and there's such a connection, and I think it's beautiful that your mom, you know, pushed you to follow through with this, because what is it they say? Moms know our hearts better than we do.
They do. So, they do.
Such a beautiful, beautiful story that you're telling. My father has been dead since 2002, and we didn't. I think the biggest thing is we were too much alike, you know, and so we didn't always click. And we had things and stuff. But I was thinking the other day how so many people in my life now, they either have a living father that they're so crazy about, or a father that's passed that they were so close to. And I thought, wow, I must have done my inner work because dad energy is always showing up with me all the time now.
Yeah. Aww.
But you're teaching, you're starting children early to look through the veil and realize how to be both and. How something ends, but yet it begins. And like I said, I was just so excited to have you on today, because I think that's one of the biggest missings in our society today with societal beliefs, is the fear to talk about death, the fear to talk about its ongoing, and to really look at that, because people that are comfortable with death are comfortable, I think, with life.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you definitely appreciate, I think, you know, there was a couple of I was listening to, I think it was Bob Proctor, and he had like one of the seminars, and I think he had Les Brown on, and one thing just struck me. It hit me hard because now, you know, this is before I started. I don't think I was really writing at that point, but he said, you know, you can picture, you know, someone on a deathbed, and they have all these opportunities to them, and like all these gifts that were given to them. And now you have to confront all the reasons why you didn't take, you know, you didn't take that step. You didn't write that book. You didn't reach out to that person or try something new, or, you know, like we're time, no one knows really when it's up. And it just hit me so hard because, you know, my mom was young and, you know, they were waiting to, they retire and to go travel and do things. And it's like, I understand that from some aspect, but when I had that like intuition, like and then the people that showed up and then were like, no, you have to do this. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen because, something is directing me on this path. And I always kind of, I think deep down believed in something spiritual, though I wasn't very into it. I think in the past year I read so many books and, you know, everyone from Chopra to Wayne Dyer and, you know, everyone in between. And, I was doing it to comfort myself, but obviously it's a very, and it was before the whole pandemic even, so I didn't foreshadow any of this, you know, unfortunately what's been going on, but I was very, you know, I started writing it, I think back in 2019 or, you know, early 2020, and then everything happened. But you know, it's getting over that fear too, because a lot of people, it is a taboo subject, especially for children. And I found myself looking for books even for my own children, and it was all very kind of like upsetting, and like, and not that their grief isn't upsetting, I'm not trying to make put it lightly, but I'm like, where's the positive side that like they're still with us? Where's that? Where's those books explaining that? And I know you're putting yourself out there to be, you know, I've even seen people comment on, you know, the ads or whatnot that come up about angel, like, oh, well, angels are, you know, this or that, and you know, and this goes against the Christian belief or this belief. And I'm like, you know, I'm not subjecting to any particular beliefs. I just believe, and I feel that there is, you know, their spirit, and they are still with us. And I would never denounce anyone else's beliefs, but, you know, I just wanted something out there that people can take solace in, or maybe find some comfort in, and maybe you just have that conversation or bring it up, because, yeah, I mean, it is so taboo. I mean, that people, I mean, I was raised Jewish, so you just, you know, you sit Shiva, you move on, you don't talk about it, you don't, and that didn't work for me. And I'm, you know, 38 years old, 39 years old when my mom passed away. So how does that work for children? You know, like if you're not talking about it, how do they feel? And, you know, I don't think things get resolved by just sweeping it under the rug. I mean, it's probably one of the worst things you can do. So I did take some risk by putting it out there and kind of subjecting myself. And I did have to go through some things and insecurities in that aspect. But from what I see and what I feel, I knew it was going to help other people. And that's the greatest reward. I mean, I definitely, you know, it's such a beautiful journey now, because now it's just, I'm fulfilling something that, like, I guess deep down inside, I always wanted to do. And it took me 30 something years to figure that out. And I'm helping people in the process. And that is my goal. You know, is everyone going to love everything I ever write or every, I'm sure not, but it's going to help some people.
I hope they don't, yeah. Because that means that you're probably not being authentic if you're writing to the person that may respond a certain way. And, you know, I got news for you, being in Unity and being in those same circles that you've been talking about, and all the people that you've mentioned, you have hundreds of millions of people that believe exactly what you believe. And so what I find for me is to focus on those people, because they're totally in with your teaching and with what you're offering and with what you're saying. And it's been proven scientifically. It's been proven with physics. And traditional Christians can hang on to that old box and that, you know, man-made square all they want.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they are accurate. And it doesn't mean that what they're saying is true. And I wouldn't so much mind that what they say is true. But if it were true and people went somewhere to the glory gates and, you know, heaven on earth, and they rest in peace and they did all that, you know, then why can't you still communicate with them? So it just is, there's such incongruencies, and it takes people like you that are trailblazing that reach a different group of people, that speak to a different group of people. You know, I teach children here, when someone dies, the other thing we do is we plant a tree. Because we want to show that ongoing energy and that essence and that power of life, that it is ongoing, that life is always living. And how can you say, even in that faith, that something lives eternally, but yet we close the door and we don't ever mention it again? That just seems so, it's bizarre to me. But I'm, you know, I'm fascinated.
No, I agree. There's always something like lacking for me. And maybe that's why I've been the, you know, I don't want to say black sheep of my family, but I've always been questioning. I've always been, you know, kind of, and even if I don't say it out loud, like, well, why is that? Or why don't we talk about that? Or why is it this way? Just because that's what tradition says, or that's because what you're told and they told you, and okay, well, that's not good enough for me. So I always kind of like ruffle feathers from a, you know, that kind of standpoint. But this really catapulted me to like, I think I've read like 70 different spiritual books in the past year, and I'm always seeking. And I think the beauty of it is that you're always going to be a seeker and you're always going to be finding things out. And when I claim to know everything, it's probably going to be when, you know, I'm no longer here. I think we're always seeking the truth, and it's always going to find its way and reveal itself to us. And I think that's the beauty of the journey. And I think you're right. Yeah. Like from a standpoint of,
you can have a clean Heather.
Yes.
And we'll be right back after this short break. Thank you for being with us.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back to The Intentional Spirit with Reverend Temple Hayes.
Hi, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being here. We love that you follow our work and you participate with us. I also love that you join us on firstunity.org, and you can also access the institute that we have that creates spiritual leaders and empowered leaders in today's world. And so please join us and connect with us that way. You can also go to my website, templehayes.com. Today we're talking with our featured guest is Heather Lean, and you can go to her website, Heather Lean, L-E-A-N. I'm telling you, she has leaned into a conversation that is so needed in our society today, teaching children that other people and our elders and people that pass on are our angels, and that they can still communicate, they can still make that connection, and that life is ever going on. And as Heather was saying in the first part, you know, there's that in sync, you know, that her mother who has died, it still communicates and directs. And, you know, Heather, that's the way it was with me when I love that you use feathers in the book. And by the way, these two books, Angel Grandpa, Angel Grandma, are greatly illustrated. And, you know, with all the feathers, I was thinking about after my father first died, and I was needing to heal myself about that in whatever ways that happened. A feather would just fall, sometimes almost bump me on the head, you know, and get my attention, right? Butterflies are big. Hummingbirds. There's all kind of, you know, things that occur. There's also a book that you might want to be aware of, Heather. It's by Jamie Turndorf, and it's called Love Never Dies.
Beautiful.
And that would be a good connection for you. And if you want that connection, you can write me at templehayes@gmail.com, because she travels the world because her husband died. And she spent her life, the last 10, 12 years, in him communicating and their relationship, as in Love Never Dies. So anyway, there's a whole circle of a world of people that not only, you know, read about and involve themselves in this, but dedicate their lives to it because we know it's true.
Yeah.
what you're saying is true. And keep being that mighty voice out there. And don't question the naysayers. They're everywhere about something. So
yeah.
I always say, if I'm irritating people, it means that I'm being true to myself, because I'm not going to please all the people all the time. And there's a lot of people just stuck in the past and too afraid, you know, too afraid to go to the next level. So I applaud you, and I'm very touched by your work. But when you first wrote your book, and you were having it out there and people were looking at it, and your daughter, your children, what were some of the experiences that they were having or processes they were going through?
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. I read the reviews. Obviously, I don't engage with any of them because I don't want them to know that I'm reading all them. But from what I see, a lot, I sign with I was originally self-published, and I signed with a small publisher, Puppy Dogs and Ice Cream, and I'm reading a lot of the reviews too, and you know, interesting. It's like just sorely needed, you know, and actually it's funny, I didn't foresee this, but a lot of grandmothers and grandfathers are buying it for their children. You know, I just saw as a mom, because that's what I am, a mom buying it for her children because her mom passed away. And it's actually even more than that, the grandparents are buying it for their grandchildren, and they're still here. And they're like, you know, I hope it comforts them when I'm no longer here, because now they're thinking, you know, when I'm no longer here, I still want to like comfort my grandchildren, and in that way. And I was like, wow, that's so beautiful, because now people are talking about it. Now they're not afraid to, you know, to bring this up and say, like, you know, this resonates with me. Like, I'm still going to be here. And the whole books are about, you know, there's a presence of the angel in the very first picture and of the book. And then it's just following the children around throughout the book, you know, different things that they do. They're, you know, they're playing an instrument, they're playing around, like, you know, the creatures feel my presence, I'm watching over you. And it's like, you don't even see the angel in any of the other pictures with the children, but because that's really, and in the beginning, when I did my first edition, I actually revised it a little bit because my daughter, who's 5, was like, well, why can't I see, you know, kids are very literal. they take things, you know, it's, my daughter will just say what's on her mind. And I'm so grateful for that. She's 5. And she's like, well, why can't I see, you know, Angel Grandma? Like, how come she doesn't come to me? And so I changed a couple of things in the book because, you know, in the literal sense, we can't physically see them, but we know that they're there. So how did I translate that in the book? The first picture is the angel watching over them, and the rest of the story plays out, you know, the children are doing things, and the manuscript, the words are saying, I'm watching over you. The creatures even know I'm watching over you. They feel my presence. And that's how that was my journey. This is how I feel. And just little things. And, you know, I didn't say it anywhere, but people have noticed it, even the reviews that they leave. Like I saw the hidden feather in each page, and my daughter loves, you know, finding the hidden feather and, you know, and just little things like that, because my daughter and I, we always do that whenever we see a feather, just like you, or like, you know, she brings up, oh, that's Angel Grandma. And I had a similar experience. I think I was, I tell the story because it's just so funny. It's like just thinking about my mom and little things like that. But I was in a grocery store, and the line, you know, the whole idea with the feathers came to me at that point, because I was looking around, I was in the produce section, you know, for a change, I was by myself without my kids or anyone else. And my mom used to have this like very specific salad dressing. So I saw it and I was thinking of her, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I'll just buy it or whatever, just for the heck of it. And I'm checking out the, you know, the cash register and on the conveyor belt. Now, this has never happened to me before in all my shopping trips I've ever made. And I'm still thinking about my mom, and this I love you balloon gets caught in the conveyor belt. And it literally got caught the whole way up the conveyor belt, and the cashier had to pull it out. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. You know, I wasn't thinking anything even more now. And then I go out to the parking lot, and I see feathers like on the ground, and I look up and they're coming from the sky. I'm like, did a bird get hit? I don't know. Like, I don't know what's happening, but it was all those little things. And I was like, you can choose to believe or not to believe, but I do choose to believe. And that's when the idea of the feathers, you know, kind of came to me. And so we hid them in each page of the book, for both books. And because in real life with my daughter and I, when we see a feather, we say it's Angel Grandma. And it can just be like a trigger for her to realize, well, Grandma's always there. She's always going to be around you. And it could be someone seeing like a red robin or a red cardinal or anything. But that's the point. It's like being in the present and noticing that, you know, they're always there. Sometimes you just don't take notice of that, you know, of the spirit and of the presence and of that peace around you. And, I feel like when I am in that state of mind, it's more obvious. You know, I feel like a wave of, just comfort and peace like wash over me. And I think when you're in a state of constant fear or anxiety or whatever, you can't really feel that and connect to that. So I think if it's a book or if it's meditation or if it's like little things that put you in that place where you can connect. It is a beautiful thing. And so that's why I try to teach, you know, my daughter that, and the reviews and people talking about it. It's such a wonderful thing, because I never thought it was from going to be from a standpoint of a grandmother buying it for their, you know, their grandkids, and she's still alive, but they're having that conversation. They're, you know, bringing it up to them. And, you know, there's a place in the back of the book where they can write all their memories with their grandmother and kind of bring it back to that, and living in that space of, you know, beauty and remembrance and peace. And I think it's just, it's in a place where I didn't even foresee it going. So that's, you know, that's quite wonderful that people are not afraid to have these conversations now.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just a further awareness that this is a, you know, an idea, as we say, whose time has come, and a very necessary one indeed. And, you know, feathers and feathers coming and showing up is very shamanic as well. It's Aborigines. It's the shamanic, the elders that have walked the earth. It's about nature. It's about life, and just a real powerful, you know, thing indeed. And the way that it works. And I've been in the most unique places that you can't explain feathers. And I return to another room, and there's a pile of feathers. I go, okay, then, you know, they're just great messages, you know, that find your heart and seek you out and things like that. And it is just, it like you said, the books are taking off in ways that you never thought, you know, that they could. And just there's no limit. But not only is it about, you know, the kids and some of the immediate family and things like that, but it's also the people that are reading these books to children. You know, they're also having to deal with their own incongruencies around death. And that's, I think, what's so interesting is that, for me, at least in my own belief and in my own faith, and it's always evolving, you know, it's always evolving of how you really feel like when somebody dies and, you know, things like that. And there are people that, well, I'm not sad at all. You know, I know where they're at, and I know they went to, you know, some afterlife and, you know, that kind of thing. And, but I, you know, I don't need to be sad at all, but yet, you know, we have grief, you know, right? I mean, we're grieving. Yeah. We still have that dimension of, you know, saying goodbye and our psychology of all that's another piece of it. But, you know, I know for years I used to join other people and say, you know, rest in peace. And now I go, right, I don't believe anybody's resting. You know, I think people are working. I think, you know, how do you say to somebody that, you know, has hardly ever wanted to, you know, stop and meditate, and, you know, had a purposeful life, to think they're going to go somewhere and just sleep? I mean, I just don't believe that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the deeper underneath part. Even my speaking with you today about your books, I'm needing to go back and dig deeper and look at, what do I feel today? You know, do I still feel the same? Do I still have the same beliefs that I had, you know, last week? Like I told you, that was a whole new awareness that I had, because for years I just seemed to attract people that were so close to their moms. And now I'm also around a lot of people that are close to their dads. And I go, this is wonderful. I must have been doing some good work on myself, you know, because there would have been a time I wouldn't have been engaged in that conversation. So it's, I just can't say enough. I'm just thrilled about this. Like I said, I was just really looking forward to this show, because it starts so much with the children, of them understanding and having this close relationship with people on the other side, or animals on the other side as well.
Right.
That would be fun for you to do too, because I see that you're, it sounds like you've got some things going on like myself, because it says you have hens. Where did I see that? Oh, you have four hens, three cats, a puppy named Bo. So that's another book for you, is the animals and the creatures that connect with us. We need one of those too.
Yes, we're working on it. I love my hens. It's pretty funny, but yeah, I I wanted to prep. One of my things that I thought I was going to be growing up as a child was a vet. My daughter loves animals too. She's like, can we have a turtle now? I was like, no, I think we have enough animals right now for me to take care of. I got two kids and a house full of animals. I think we're good for now. But yeah, I think it's so beautiful. Like, you know, you said just to have this, you know, I don't want my daughter to be afraid or, you know, grow up in that sense of, I can't talk about this. I can't talk about, you know, that I know families that are like that. And particularly mine was too, you know, as I said, I grew up and it was just something you just didn't talk about anymore, but that didn't work for me as an adult. And she's very comfortable. Like she'll, you know, for a time we were just, we'll be in a store and she's like, oh, this is my angel grandma's, you know, like doll that she gave me, or this is a necklace, or my, you know, my mom had it from her mom, and she'll just like bring this up, and she's very comfortable talking about it, and it's just, and it's coming from a little 5-year-old girl, so, you know, I thought that was doing her, I wasn't doing her a disservice by making her, you know, not fear this conversation, and I think having that kind of open talk and open dialogue, it just helps, you know. I right after my mom passed away, I pretty much went back to work right away, and I, you know, shoved all that grief down, and I just didn't pay any mind to it, and I found myself crying in the file room, and people were telling me, you need to just take some time to grieve, or to just go through whatever you're going through. Like, why'd you come back to work right? I was like, well, I don't have any time off and this and that. And it's just like expected of you from society, just move on. And I know people that can't do that. They're stuck in, like you said, they're stuck in the past and they're stuck in the grief. And I was there, and it's just a very deep, dark hole. And I just don't think anyone's like, I really believe in the book, because even if you don't resonate with anything else other than just having a conversation about it, I think that can just do so much good and healing, because from my own very, you know, personal experience, I didn't talk to anyone about it, and I would be crying or just like hiding my tears and going, and like, no one expects you to be well, but I just had this in my head, and like, okay, now it's time to move on. And you know, I still get upset. Like, I still, you know, would love to have my mom here and to show her all these things. But and then I know in my heart, well, she is. I would love to be able to hug her. And you see your granddaughter, how beautiful she is, and your grandson. And yeah, I do long for that. There's always going to be that kind of missing piece in a sense, because I would love her in the physical realm. But then I have that inner knowing and that inner comfort that has guided me, and I'm not the expert on spirituality. I'm just going through it as a regular, average, everyday person. So, you know, if I'm getting these signs and these signals and this guidance, then it's really anyone can. You know, you just have to like tune into that, and you have to kind of, I've learned to follow my intuition, and people that have came into my life in the past year, from everyone, from my publicist to my friends to people who are rooting me on who've never met me in person. I couldn't tell you how many people came in to like to help me, guide me on this path. And it's just like, and it's all because I took that first step. You know, I wasn't sure this was the right book to write for children. And my husband just assured me, no, it's going to be a beautiful book. And I just, even with those insecurities, I just kind of pushed on. And I think that, you know, some of it is because I'm headstrong, and you know, when I have an idea or whatever, but it's also from the guidance and tuning into that.
Yeah, and you know, just know that, you know, just because someone's teaching spirituality doesn't necessarily mean they're having spiritual experiences. Right. And you're having spiritual experiences, and so we teach, you know, from the place that we exist, and certification doesn't make someone an expert in anything, as you know.
Right.
And it's right. The experiences from which you live and, you know, what finds you and how your path is shaped before you of, you know, part of what you're here to do. And, you know, it's just a, it's a real beautiful thing. I'm thrilled that you've done this. And though I don't know you, on one level, I know you on another and feel that it's crucial. We need these conversations deeply. And, you know, part of it too, is that we, whether we like it or not in the USA, we live in a throwaway society, you know, and, you know, we throw it away and then we don't even think about repairing something. Well, let's just go get a new one, you know? And so we live in this throwaway society. Well, that's happened. You know, it's like I joke with my family or friends from the Carolinas, if anybody dies and they're not going to be cremated. I live in Florida. You know, we cremate here. But, you know, if they're burying somebody, they still use the antiquated methods that they used, you know, in the early, you know, 1700s. They just bury somebody like within a day. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't even get there to go to a service. We need these conversations. We're still governed by old timey, you know, worn out ways of thinking. And we have evolved. We are more awake. I mean, there's, you know, Touched by an Angel. Hello. That was what? I don't even want to say how old that show was. You probably don't even remember because I'm more aged than you. But, you know, Touched by an Angel. Remember that show with Della Reese and, you know, the angels that come through, or Ghost Whisperer was another show where the ghosts were still here on this side, you know, working with their family members and stuff like that. I mean, there's a whole world out there that knows that this is true. And and thanks for your bravery that you're starting with the young, because it, I will tell you that, something that I've noticed through the years, and I've had the good privilege of doing many memorials in my, you know, 30-year career of ministry, is that you'll go to a memorial, and I've seen it happen so many times. So people are at the memorial, and they're kind of like aware of, you know, not showing their pain, or, you know, they're reserved or holding back, or this is probably not appropriate. And you'll have a baby in the room that is just squalling as loud as it possibly can. And so what happens is the parents or the guardians or whomever go, oh, I'm sorry, the baby's crying, and let me get the baby and let me take it out to the lobby. I can't tell you how I've gone out to the lobby and said, please bring the baby back. The baby is really the only one in sync with the pain in the room. Okay.
Yeah. They don't hold back. They're very receptive to that. Yeah.
The baby.
I agree.
Our younger child, I've even said to them, because I talk to children like they're grown up, because as souls they are, they're not little itsy bitsy, you know, non-knowing things. And I said, thank you for showing your feelings. We've really needed that. And immediately the child will stop crying. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. That whole level. So you're talking to, in your books, you're reaching the real teachers here. It's it's adults that have forgotten that we're still students of life, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, my daughter is my teacher in probably in every way. My son is three, so he's young. He's still, you know, learning his whole language, but Shay will just ask me questions, and it's just, like, it just hits, like, even probably even in three, she was asking me questions where, you know, she puts you in it, like, it takes your breath away. She's like, you know, she'll ask me, like, questions about God and, you know, and, you know, she'd ask me, like, at two, mommy, are you happy? And it's like, it's just like little things like that. Like, it just, it puts you, it just makes you, like, kind of take your breath away, because you're like, yeah, what is the meaning? Why, you know? And I think, you know, I've read it too, that it's, there is that duality in it, and it is very sad when we lose people. And I am always going to miss my mom and have that, you know, that place in my heart that just misses her being here on this physical plane. But, you know, it's that light, and it's like appreciating life, because you you know, if you didn't have death, you maybe wouldn't appreciate life. You just, you're, you know, working on quantity versus quality. It's like, well, you know, everyone just wants to live a very, very long life, but are they living? Are they really, truly living? And like I said, you know, before, I think my mom's gift to me is that she pushed me to live in a place where I didn't think was possible a year ago. And now I'm writing stories and I feel fulfilled in my heart. I feel, you know, this pandemic, I mean, it, you know, it's very hard. A lot of people are being forced to turn inward, but I turned inward voluntarily over a year ago. And so I'm handling it in a much better space than I would had I not had this outlet. And I really think it is that gift, but you know, it does make you appreciate life. And, you know, just to a point that you made before about our culture and not, you know, not talking about it, like, you know, you see in other cultures, it's very much a part of the conversation. You know, they talk about spirits and they talk about the after. And it's like, here, it's like I used to ask questions and it was like, shh, you know, we don't talk about that. And I'm like, well, where does it say that? And, you know, I was raised Jewish and I was, you know, Moana is probably one of my favorite Disney movies. And in the movie, I don't know if you saw it, but the grandmother passes away and she's the spirit and she comes to help Moana.
I love this movie. I have a 5-year-old, so yeah, girl, I know all these movies.
It's one of my favorite movies. I feel like it's the one authentic, you know, it's so authentic, you know, it's like, and they say like they wanted it. I watched the behind the scenes and they said if they were going to do a movie, you know, it had to be based upon our real traditions and had to be accurate and authentic. And that's so beautiful. Like they're having that conversation. And I'm, of course I'm crying like in a Disney movie, like I cry in all things. I'm a very sensitive person. My mom and I had that in common. We always cry in everything. And I'm like, but it's so beautiful. It touches you because, you know, we are supposed to cry. We are supposed to talk about our emotions. We are supposed to feel things. We are like, you're not supposed to just walk around like a zombie and shove every feeling down, like you said. And people are so afraid to show that. And I don't think that's a sign of a weakness. I think that's, you know, I used to think it was a weakness, and now I realize that it is a strength.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you for your strength, and I thank you so much for the work you're doing. Heather Lean, everyone, go to her website. God bless you on this amazing journey we call life. See you next week. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'm Suzanne Giesman, and if you've ever wondered about life after death or if it's possible to connect with a higher consciousness, I invite you to join me for my podcast, Messages of Hope. It's my mission to share with you that our loved ones who have passed are always with us and we are so very loved. I want to teach you how to live a consciously connected and divinely guided life. Listen here on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.